In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. Let us pray. O God, it instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit. Grant that by the same Spirit may be truly wise, never rejoice in his consolation, to the same Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Pray for us.
Saint Joseph.
Pray for us.
Saint Ignatius.
Pray for us.
Saint Faustina.
Pray for us.
All God's angels and saints.
Pray for us.
In the name of the Father, Son. Well, happy Easter.
Happy Easter, Father.
One of the best films that has come out over the past, maybe say 30 years, is based on a real story that happened in England, Scotland, and France, and it's the name of the film is Chariots of Fire. Okay? Worth seeing. Okay? And it's basically based on these runners in England and Scotland who arrive at the Olympic Games in Paris, the beginning of the 1900s. No? So I'd like to tell one of the episodes of that movie related to where we're heading now. Okay, the hero, his name is Eric Little, and he's running the 400. No? So if you know anything about sports, the 400 would be a quarter of a mile, and it's going one lap around the track. So it's not long distance, it's basically a sprint. It's not the 100, but 400, it's a sprint. No. So he's on the edge of the track, and ready, set, go, boom. He's heading off running, and the guy next to him, when he's running about, I'd say about maybe 20 yards, the guy that was running right next to him, he elbows him, okay? He's in the dust. Now, his fall occasioned him losing probably about 4 seconds. You might say, big deal, 4 seconds. But you're running the 400. That's huge. Sometimes they win by a tenth of a second. So 4 seconds, that's a lot. So two options. Throw the towel in or get up and run. He decided to get up and run. So he passed one, passed two, and the guy that knocked him down, he went after him and he beat him by a hundredth of a second. Then he collapsed, and you can see him panting. That's the whole purpose of these exercises, no? If you've ever read the letters of St. Paul, he actually uses images from the Olympic Games because before Paul lived, the Olympic Games were present in Greece. He said, I've run the good race. If any of you saw the film of St. Paul the Apostle, which came out about 2 weeks ago, he actually mentions that. Praise the Lord that he'll be able to finish the race. And he also compares the spiritual life to Cinderella Man. Fight the good fight, okay? Fight the good fight. Now, one of the greatest graces we can beg for in our spiritual life is the grace of final perseverance. Final perseverance, no? Remember when I was in high school running cross country in New Jersey, they're called the Invitationals. Invitational, I don't know what they call them in California, running against, you know, hundreds of other from all over the Bergen County where I was when I was running, no? A lot of guys, they would conk out because they would gun it right away. And they ran out of gas after half a mile, no? Still had another two miles to go, no? So we are spiritual cross-country runners. Can't run out of gas. Can't run out of gas. Got to persevere to the end. Now you might be asking me, well, what the heck does this have to do with these exercise programs? A lot. Because this is the last week of our formal program. This is the program that I wrote out. It's a 10-week program. This is called Annotation 19. You've got some Annotation 19 program from Tetlow that goes from 9 months to a year. But I thought for busy people, 10 months is good enough. 10 weeks is good enough, rather. 2 weeks is too short. 10 months is too long. But 10 weeks, 70 days, it's enough to really derive the fruit of these exercises that I think most of you have received. So the big question is, what about tomorrow? What about tomorrow? So the first part of this talk is I'm going to give you some suggestions on how you can persevere. Let's talk about the negative, and then we'll talk about the positive. Now, if you do not persevere in your prayer life, and you don't make a concerted effort to keep growing, then it's like rowing a boat. If you don't row against the current, any of you ever done any rowing, it drags you downstream. Okay? Drags you downstream. You don't make a concerted effort to keep growing in your spiritual life, your prayer life, a lot of negative things are going to happen. Some people have the erroneous concept that, okay, we finished the course, now we can go back to being normal people. Ever since I started, my husband said, you are a fanatic, you're a nut. What do you mean by getting up at 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning? You're crazy. You're nutty. You're going bananas. What's wrong with you? But it's not really that, because we're all called to become saints. You know, there are many qualities of the saints, but I'll give you about five of them. Saint is usually a person who doesn't spend a lot of time in bed, you know, nor at the table. He's not a big eater or a big sleeper. Hard worker. Yeah. Not afraid to work. Long hours in prayer. Many trials, crosses, and tribulations. But you ready? Always filled with joy. Yeah. That's a saint. How countercultural, huh? Mm-hmm. Sleep as much as you, as necessary, the minimum. Eat to get by.
Trials with joy.
Yeah, a real workhorse. Yeah. Safe souls, huh? Many trials, but overflowing with joy. That's a typical saint. You don't believe me? Read John Bosco, or Saint Alphonsus, or Faustina, or Dominic Savio, or Maria Goretti, or Saint Augustine, or Aquinas. You know, it's obviously, you know, you're going way beyond the natural realm. These people are living a very deep mystical life. What is American society? Sleep in, long vacations, luxurious meals, right? comfort. Something goes wrong, you know, go get a lawyer to get a lawsuit against a person, right? That's the American society. It's diametrically opposed to what I've just enunciated right now. Now, if you don't persevere in your prayer life, I only see one ultimate destination. You're going to fall into mediocrity. You know what that means? You're going to be a mediocre Catholic, as most are today. Do you want to be mediocre? How would you like on your tombstone? Here lays Miss Mediocre. She wouldn't kill a fly. It's the exact opposite of the saints. The saints are on fire. And I really believe there are two types of fire. There's one, come on, baby, light my fire. The Doors, right? No? Jim Morrison, huh? Never hear him? Maybe before your time, huh? Or the fire of the Holy Spirit, huh? Two different types of fire. The essential fire of the world, of the Doors, Jim Morrison, huh? Or the fire of the Holy Spirit. We want the fire of the Holy Spirit, right? Pentecost, huh? That's what we want. So are you going to persevere? I hope so. But of all the spiritual groups you've ever gone to, by far this is the most demanding, right? Yes. By far this is the most demanding. This isn't a minor little league baseball. This is a Angels against the Dodgers. I mean, this is major league stuff, okay? It's the major league stuff. So if you want to persevere, you have to decide right now, this day, you're gonna make certain decisions, practical, to say what you're gonna do. Otherwise, just drifting back into the old status quo, just being somewhat normal now, which means mediocre, is your ultimate destiny. I hope not. So I'm going to give you about five suggestions, and we'll give you your meditations for this week. We celebrate the resurrection of Christ. This is the week of the resurrection, begging for intense joy in the Lord. But let's outline some practical steps we can take so that we don't fall into a state of lukewarmness or mediocrity. Because now's the time you have to make that decision. Otherwise, you're just going to be drifting into mediocrity. You know, maybe a week or two afterward, you'll still have some fire. But by May, it'll be cinders, no? Yeah. No? You got a little bit of wind in your sails, but then the wind will no longer blow and you'll be stagnant. Okay, the first is this. You can do the exercises another time. So you can sign up for the exercises that we'll be having the next session. So there's a relatively short break. We'll be starting Mary, it'd be 3 weeks from today and Thursday?
Yeah, yes.
Okay, the 26th, you can come Saturday or you can come Sunday or Wednesday or Thursday to do the exercises again. And especially those who have done the exercises, I think it's a good idea at least to do them once a year. Well, once a year to go back and do the exercises. But also, if you're coming back to do them a second time, the first time you're basically learning the whole dynamic of the program. You're learning how to meditate. So it's kind of a novelty the first 10 weeks, no? It's like when you're learning anything new. You're learning how to ride a bike or to drive a car, or you're learning how to speak a new language, you're learning how to cook, you're learning how to play the guitar. Takes a while to get into the flow of things. That is applicable also to our prayer life. Teresa of Avila says you learn how to pray by praying. But there's no greater art in the world than to learn the art of prayer. So come back and do the exercises again. And you're going to be noticed that there'll be a difference. You could be reading the same word of God's Psalm 23, but after you've read it the 500th time, you see an insight that you never saw before. It's not that the word of God changed it, but we change. Hopefully for the better. We change. So that's one suggestion. The next would be we're all in the process, we're all a work in progress, as they say. And we have to take seriously what is called permanent formation. Take seriously what we call permanent formation. And this is not to disparage or look down on anyone, but face it, we still have a lot to learn with respect to our Catholic faith. There's much more that we don't know than we know. Mm-hmm. For example, 99% of the Catholics can't even name the Ten Commandments in order, no? That's kindergarten. But 99% of the Catholics can't even do that. No, so we're living in a world that's just vast ignorance of the faith. No. How are you as a mother or father are going to teach your kids if you don't even know the Ten Commandments? I mean, it's deplorable if you think about it. No. Or maybe if you know them, you can mention them. You probably don't know the interpretation of them. Scandal would be against what commandment? None of you would be able to. That's the fifth commandment, because you're damaging the moral integrity of that person. How about a vasectomy or tubal ligation? Fifth commandment, no? Because you're damaging your human body. You would never know that if you didn't study the catechism. Never. What about, giving in to superstition? First commandment, you're not honoring God above all things. No? So unless we really study, we're never going to know this. And as Aquinas says, one of the principal reasons why people are lost is because of ignorance. No? Thomas Aquinas, no? The greatest man in the world after Jesus Christ. Greatest mind, rather. Okay? How many of us know the moral virtues? How many of us know the Beatitudes? How many of us know the cardinal virtues? How many of us can mention the Beatitudes? Probably none of us, right? So it's incumbent upon us to take seriously our permanent formation as Catholics. So the next option that you might have is Friday night we have what's called a perseverance class in the old church. It's a perseverance class. And we start at 7:30 every Friday. We cancel it once a year, and that was last Friday because it was Good Friday. That's the only Friday that we cancel. And what I've decided to do over the past more than a year is I really feel that what I'm teaching the people is very good for your spiritual life, your moral life, your contemplative life, your prayer life, is I'm going through the diary of Saint Faustina. You've heard of that, right?
Yeah.
So I've been explaining the diary of Saint Faustina. Diary of Saint Faustina, I think it's the greatest modern spiritual classic the past 10 years, no? I find it is just a spiritual masterpiece. No? But it's good to have a teacher explain it to you, okay? Because you can read certain things and you're not going to be able to pick up the concepts, okay? What I do, I'll often take a number and I'll spend the whole hour just explaining the number, and I'll take word for word, concept for concept, and I'll try to just basically squeeze all the juice out of. I'll probably finish by the year 2070 if I live that long. But there's no hurry. I've arrived at, number 107. I've arrived at, 107. There's 1,828 entries, no? So, but each of those numbers are just a spiritual gold mine. And I've made a decision in my life. I'm going to be, I try to promote the five M's, okay? You know what the five M's are? I like acronyms as a teacher. You know what the five M's are?
No, but I can see. Yeah.
Okay, first would be meditation. That's what we're doing, right? Promote meditation. The second would be I really want to promote mercy. So I believe for me as a priest, I promote mercy by spending time in the confessional. Yeah? Mercy. The third would be, I really believe in promoting the Mass. I'm listening to a book on tape by Bishop Robert Barron, okay? His last book, which is on evangelization, no? And he says, if we really want to evangelize people, want to bring people back to the church, the most important thing is bring people back to Mass. That's the most important thing. Of all the things you could do, bringing someone back to Mass, which I think is related also to confession, as the people are away from the church and the sacrament, they don't go to confession, okay, and they're not ready to receive communion yet. Then the last M would be that of Mary, promoting Marian devotion. Oh, I'm sorry. I was never good at math. Okay, got one more. Okay, the last, of course, would be the call of the king, would be mission, to be missionaries. If you can do those first four, then you're going to be a good missionary. You like that?
Yeah,
I love it. So if you look at your... If you look at your hand, how many of you have five fingers? Look at your hand. What letter do you have? You never notice that in your hand there's an M written in your hand? Never notice that? Look at your hand. Isn't there an M there? It's not a W, it's an M, okay? There's an M there. See? Didn't know that I'm a spiritual palm reader, huh? Didn't know I'm in curandero, huh? We're not divino, huh? No sabroco. So there you have five fingers. You have an M there. So every time you look at your hand, remember the five M's that I taught you, okay? Don't turn your hand upside down, it's going to be a W, okay?
My son wanted to tell you that we also have a cross.
A cross. Okay, good. He didn't say that that was his mother, did he?
No.
No, oh, okay.
We also have a cross.
Good. Okay, so come to perseverance. Now, in addition to the presentation that we give, also we give you meditation for the whole week, which Mary works on giving you points to explain the gospel for the day for that whole week. In the baker's dozen, she'll throw in the summary of the life of a saint.
Nice.
What? Yeah, that's great. So all of you can come. And then after, she'll hand out a hard copy of the points for you to meditate. So it's your meditation, they're built in. The presentation, the points, then you have it. So if you're not going to persevere, it's not our fault, it's your fault. Because we're giving you everything. We have a New York expression, you can take the horse to the water, but you can't make the horse drink the water. Never hear that expression? You can take the horse to the water, but you can't make the horse drink the water. I can teach you how to pray, but I can't force you to pray. And I've said this many times, as a teacher, I can teach you how to pray. As a teacher, I can go on and on and on until tomorrow, okay? And I'm not lacking in words nor in preparation, no? But you got to do your part. You got to do your part. And I can pitch the ball to you, but you got to take the bat off your shoulder. You got to hit the ball, okay? I can't pitch and bat at the same time, unless I do a miracle. So I'll pitch the ball and you'll hit it, okay? So I think you really should take advantage of this because we're giving you the golden opportunity to really set a solid foundation for all of you to become saints. Amen?
Amen.
We're giving it to you. We're giving this to you free of charge. The golden opportunity, we're giving you all the different instruments to become great saints. So do not neglect the golden opportunity God has given you right now. I think if I were your age and I were exposed to it as a, you know, maybe a teenager, I'd probably be an archbishop or a cardinal now. I mean, I didn't even know this existed, no? When I had the age of your kids, no? I mean, I pray, but the mental prayer, what the heck is that, no? So take advantage of the fact that you're exposed to this and you can teach your children about this, no? By the way, I'm going to be setting up a program for children and teenagers in the summer, so have your ears open to that, okay?
Yeah.
So I've written the exercises for teenagers and a Marian consecration for teenagers and children, too. So I'm a prolific writer. And try to adapt according to the audience. No? Say thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
You're welcome. I thought that deserved an attitude of gratitude, no? More painful than the serpent's tooth, that of an ungrateful child. William Shakespeare, Macbeth, right? We want to be grateful, right?
Yes, we do.
Okay, next. Do you go on vacation?
Yes.
I'm always on vacation, Father. Okay, I hope that's not the case. You go on vacation. I've got a perfect idea for your vacation this year. You listening? It's going to be the last week of July.
Oh,
You're not going to be going to the Bahamas or Acapulco or Niagara Falls, okay? Or downtown Hawaiian Gardens, none of that, okay? We're inviting all of you to come to a wonderful spiritual resort center. It's called Alhambra. And it's the retreat center of the Carmelites of the Sacred Heart. Maybe I'm being somewhat evasive in what I'm saying, but we invite you to come to the retreat, 8-day retreat. Amen?
Amen.
8-day retreats. Already, I think we got some registration forms. Mary will give them to you as soon as possible. Now, some of you might be saying, well, what about the economic situation? How many of you go on vacation every year, do you? Do you spend any money?
Yeah.
No.
It's a ton of money.
Okay, say for example you go 2 weeks on vacation with your family. How much money are you going to be spending? Thousands of bucks, huh? You know how much this 8-day retreat is? Mary, what is it?
It ranges from about $600 for a single room for a double room where you share a bed with two beds in one room, to about $900 for a single room.
Okay, from $600 to $900, okay, the meeting would be about $750. 3 meals a day, right? You'll come back probably weighing an extra 3 or 4 pounds, probably, no? Food is good, no? You got the retreat master, yours truly, and other team of individuals helped me out. You have the nuns praying for you. You got a beautiful chapel. Right down the street, you got the Church St. Therese, where you have the Blessed Sacrament exposed around the clock. What more do you want? How could you not decide that's going to be your vacation? You gotta go. You gotta go. So I'm telling you now, in the beginning of April, already sign up. That's where you really go deeper in your prayer life, because right now you're meditating an hour a day in the midst of many occupations. Whereas there, you're alone with the Lord for 8 days. What could be better than that? It's going to be a silent retreat for you, but not for me, okay? Silent retreat. We'll give you four half-hour talks on the Ignatian exercises. You have the rest of the day free to be able to do your meditations. So you'll be able to meditate 5 hours a day for 8 days. That means when you finish, you will have done 40 hours of meditation. 40 hours! Do you think your relationship with God is going to be much stronger? You'll be walking on cloud 9 by the time you finish. You're going to be levitating. You're going to be suspended the law of gravity. Huh? You're going to sit there. So sign up. Sign up. Especially we have some maybe young people that are in the process of discernment. That's the golden opportunity. I already talked about discernment. There you have the best way to do it. When you're in silence for 8 days, you have spiritual direction, and you're meditating upon what's the most important thing for you to do in life. Or you have to make a decision. There's the context in which you can really make the right decision, because you're in silence, you do the Ignatian exercises, you arrive at the holy indifference, you talk it out with a director, and then you make the decision. So there we have that opportunity for all of you to make your 8-day retreat. Okay, next. Hopefully you've given to Mary your emails, because we tried to set up a holy hour in Mass it depends. We're going to try to line up one within the next 3 or 4 weeks. We do it on Saturdays, holy hour, and then the Mass, we end with the Mass, and I try to hear some confessions, and if you behave well, we'll give you refreshments too. If you're not a recalcitrant teenager, we'll try to end it with something sweet. So we've been doing that over the past few years, expose the Blessed Sacrament with incense. No? You like incense?
Yes.
Smells and bells, huh? Now let me tell you an interesting story. You're going to like this.
Okay.
My father, who passed away about a year ago, he was an altar boy in Detroit, Michigan. And it was when the Mass was in Latin. Okay? My dad was born in 1928. So he studied with the Jesuits, and my mom studied with the IHM nuns. Those were the Jesuit nuns back in the 40s and 50s. My dad was using the thurible. You know what the thurible is?
Yes.
It's called the thurible. Or I'll give you the incense pot. Okay. Maybe that's easy. Okay, there, that's easy, right? Incense pot. Well, it's technically called a thurible. So there was an older German priest that was celebrating the Mass, and it was a solemn Mass. My dad was using the thurible, and he had about four different charcoals that were red hot there. And he didn't get the thurible to the priest quickly, because it was really hot, and he had to put it down. So the priest, he chanted this way so that the other people would know that the situation was kind of getting out of order. The priest chanted this way: "Where's the boy with the incense pot?" My dad sang back, "I had a drop, it was too darn hot."
I like that.
You like that?
Yeah.
Okay. Is it good?
Going? Like
remember it, okay? A few years ago, I was talking to them on the phone. It was right before their 57th anniversary. So I had my mom on the phone and said, "Mom, you know what happened 57 years ago tomorrow?" She said, "Yeah. I married your dad." My dad came a little bit later and said, "Dad, you know what happened 57 years ago tomorrow?" He said, "Yeah, I bought my first car." First things first, right? Okay, so next in the order of perseverance. In the professional world, do we have what are called supervisors? Do you ever watch any baseball or football or basketball? By the way, do you know who won the basketball tournament?
Yes.
Who won the do you know who won the basketball tournament? None of you know? Who won? Who graduated from Villanova? Oh, yeah. 1978, alumni, huh? What do you think, huh? Yeah, 2 times in 3 years, huh? But years ago, I didn't play basketball. I played baseball, not too small. But anyway, getting back to the topic, basketball players, baseball players, singers, athletes, they have to have managers. You'll have the coaches, like you have the pitching coach, the batting coach, no? Should we have coaches in our spiritual life?
Yes.
Should we?
Yes. Yes.
So the next point is this. All of you should try to get a spiritual director, okay? Amen or oh me?
Amen.
Okay. Oh me. All of you should have a spiritual director. If not, you're not going to advance. You're going to stagnate. Okay. Guess where I drove 3 weeks ago? I drove downtown LA to see my spiritual director. You know? Every month I drive down to LA, and I have an appointment with my spiritual director. I see my confessor in Dominguez Hills about every week or every 2 weeks. I have a superior. So I've got three people that are basically directing me. My superior, my confessor, and my spiritual director. And I probably have more spiritual formation than most of you people here. How can you advance in your spiritual life if you don't have spiritual direction? It's going to be hard. And the closer you get to God, the more subtle are the temptations. I repeat, the closer you get to God, the more subtle are the temptations. And so Paul says the devil can disguise himself as an angel of light. St. Paul says that. And one of the temptations for those who are really advancing is to discern between good, better, and best. It's not easy. Discern between what's good, but what's better, but what's best. So let me give you an example from the life of a saint. I think he's one of your favorites, okay? The Curé of Ars. You ever hear of him? St. John Vianney? Surprising, none of you ever heard of the Curé of Ars, huh?
Yes.
He spent 15 hours in the confessional for about 40 years, okay? At least one of you has, okay? I have a first-class relic in my room. Yeah, a little bone of him, yeah.
Will you get to see that on Saturdays?
Okay, maybe. Maybe I'll bring it up. But you do not cover your neighbor's goods, right? Okay. I'll show it, but I'm not going to give it, okay? Okay. You got a little bone of the Curé of Ars. One of the greatest saints in the Catholic Church. So after he'd been confessing for many, many years, this was the thought. I have to get up and leave the parish because I'm not praying enough and I have to do penance for my many sins and prayer. So he got up to leave the parish. Then the people brought him back. He had the thought again, you know, you got to leave. You're not praying enough. All the saints are men and women of deep prayer. You don't pray enough. So he got up to leave the parish and they brought him back. So it happened a third time. He was getting up and leaving and then it dawned upon him. It was the devil. The devil. The devil's temptation was that he had to pray more. He had one of the most holy men that ever lived in the world. He was tricked by the devil. What about us, pobrecitos, huh? I'm not saying there's no hope, but if someone who lived such a holy life from the very beginning of his life until the end could be tricked by the devil, what about us? Very easy to be misled. Very easy. Very easy. So Ignatius, he highlights the fact that the exercises are not meant to be done alone. You have to have accompaniment. We cannot always discern God's will by ourselves. If you're looking at me with somewhat a cynical eye, let me try to defend myself. Do you remember Samuel in the temple?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You don't remember that passage, huh?
I remember it, Father. Remember that one. Here I am, Lord.
Speak, O Lord, for your servant. Who had interpreted? The prophet Eli, right? He could not interpret that voice by himself. Had to have the intervention of the priest of the temple. Another example. How about the Ethiopian eunuch that went to Jerusalem on pilgrimage and then he was heading back? Any of you know what happened? So probably only one of you know this passage. You're going to be hearing it probably in 2 weeks in the first reading. He's heading back from a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. He's reading the prophet Isaiah, and what does God do? Says, Philip, run up and catch up to that chariot. So he sits down, and he's reading Isaiah, and what happens? Do you understand what you're reading? How can I unless someone explains it to me? Explains it to him, and then what happens? Baptizes him, and then he's snatched. That's one of the best passages on spiritual direction you have. Got it? Want another one?
Yes.
Luke 24. The disciples on the road to Emmaus. You already meditated upon that. They were totally confused. They had to have someone to come to walk with them, to listen to them, to talk to them, to enlighten them. Weren't our hearts burning within us as he explained the word of God to us? You ever hear of Teresa of Avila? Did she do it all by herself?
No.
She had three canonized saints as a spiritual director. And the greatest Dominican mind in the world back then. I'll tell you who they were. John of the Cross, Carmelite. Peter Alcantara, Franciscan. Francisco Borja, Jesuit. And who would be the Dominican? Jerónimo Gracián was one of the greatest Dominicans in the world, theologians. Maybe the greatest Dominican theologian back then. I think he's already venerable. So she had four saints directing her. Not bad, huh?
Yeah.
Did John Bosco have a director?
Sure.
Who is the director of John Bosco? You're an expert in saints. Who would it be? St. Joseph Capasso. Yep. Did Dominic Savio have a director?
Yes.
John Bosco. Did St. Faustine have a director?
Yes, but who was it?
Michael Sopochko. Blessed, yeah. Did Margaret Mary have a director? St. Claude de la Colombière. So all of these great heroes of God, they had to have proper direction. You're all called to become great saints.
What's their purpose? What do they do? Like, can you give us an example of their...
Okay, yes. Teresa of Avila says that there are three qualities of a good director. Prayer, holiness, and prudence. If a director has to be a man or woman of prayer. Holiness. Now, prudence for Teresa of Avila means, it means common sense, which comes from experience. Mm-hmm. Now, at the end of the, one of the jobs my father had was he was a financial advisor on Wall Street, my father. You know why? Because he was working in business for many, many years, who had a lot of experience. So there he was there on Wall Street, people would call him and make a lot of money by just advising people how to invest in stocks and bonds and invest, because he had all this experience, no? But he didn't do that right off the bat. I mean, he had to progress in his knowledge of matters that referred to managing money, basically. Okay, so what is the purpose of it? Good question. Well, the primary purpose is to help you to get to heaven. Is that good or bad? Okay. Now, maybe that's too generic for you. Maybe you're a pragmatic New Yorker. I'll get down to the brass tacks.
I haven't found one, though.
Okay.
That's my problem.
Well, you know, you got to go shopping, okay? You got to look for one. When I was in Chile, not the Chile that you eat, but the country Chile, I had to look for one, and I had to cross, go from one part of Santiago is a big city. It's kind of like L.A., the biggest city in Chile. I had to travel from one part to the other, and I found a Jesuit. He was a blind Jesuit, but a very holy man. So you have to pray over that, and you have to try to ask God to place that person in your path. Okay, okay, now I think I'm reading your mind. I think so. Okay, so I think what most of you are thinking, okay, Father, we want one of the priests to be our spiritual director, right? Probably that's what's crossing your minds. So we got six priests here. Ideally speaking, that should be the case. Because priests, we have a sacrament. It's called Holy Orders. The Holy Orders, among many of the graces that are given, is the grace to be able to spiritually direct people. That's par for the course. And also we've got, many years of study. And if we're ordained more than 4 or 5 years, we've got a little bit of experience, okay? But priests today are less in number. You know, there's a vocational crisis. And priests are heavily overworked, okay? We're not unemployed, okay? So given that the responsibilities, especially in a parish, are so demanding that the priests here, we don't have time to have formal spiritual direction. However, there is an option. Father Tim Gallagher made this option. Like if someone wanted to go to spiritual direction to me, you could kill two birds with one stone. And it's this. Go to confession, then right after confession, spiritual direction. But it's got to be pretty quick. Because if you're there a long time, you're going to have 10, 15 people. If you're there for a half hour, 40 minutes, when you come out, there are people that want to lynch you, if not strangle you. You come out, and you're kind of going like this, and you see that they're there. They're all glaring at you. Daggers are coming out of their eyes. No? But I really believe, if you go to confession every 3 weeks, it can be done. For example, for my temperament, it would be right up right up my alley, because I tend to be pretty quick and I tend to be methodic, okay? So the confession, take 3 to 4 minutes, okay? And then, afterward, another 5 minutes of spiritual direction. It's all done in 8 or 9 minutes. But you got to prepare yourself. You can confess in 3 or 4 minutes if you're well prepared. If you're well prepared. If you're a scatterbrain and you're all over the court, then that's your own fault because you're not well prepared. But a good confession doesn't have to take a long time. Okay. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. My last confession was 2 weeks ago. I lied. I stole. I fought with my husband. I watched a bad program on TV. And I'm a gossip. I'm very sorry for these sins, Father. I beg you for absolution and penance. I'm sorry for all of my other sins. That was 30 seconds. That was excellent. That was 30 seconds. You don't have to be verbose, but be, you know, cut to the quick. I mean, most people can't do it that way, but that was a good confession. Maybe it took you 45 minutes to prepare that. Maybe an hour. Maybe it took an hour to prepare that, to just get that down and to really beg forgiveness for those, I mentioned about 7 sins there. Okay, then after that, Father, can we talk now? You know, Father, I'm really distracted in my prayer life. I'm so distracted. What can I do? Okay, do you get to bed on time? Why did you ask that, Father? Well, if you don't get enough sleep, very often you're distracted and your mind is tired. How much do you sleep every night? 4 to 5 hours? Okay, no. Get another hour and a half. Father, I don't like your advice. Okay, go to someone else, okay? You asked me. I honed in under the Holy Spirit and inspired me to ask you that question on your sleep patterns. That was the inspiration I had. If you want to reject it, go to someone else. Now, I'm not here to pat you on the back. I'm here to motivate you to really do God's will. Okay? So, if you know how to do it well, and you tend to be a person that's more direct and not circuitous, if you like that word, circumventing, but rather you cut to the quick, can be done. Yeah. But I mean, there are people it takes 10 minutes to warm up, okay? And in that case, it probably wouldn't work. No? Okay, let me give you now the other option, which is going to be a huge option. In the parish here of St. Peter Chanel, for many, many years, I really felt the burden of not being able to give you people spiritual direction. But it's just that we as priests, we only have 24 hours in the day. So what I try to do as a priest, I spend half my time preaching and teaching, the other half I try to spend a lot of hours in the confessional. That I've discerned, I really believe that that's God's will. What do you think?
Yeah, it's fine.
Is that I have to preach. Because there's so much ignorance, and being a professional teacher, I think I have a gift to be able to teach. And my Spanish is very good. I have my own Spanish radio program today at 1 o'clock, so I'm preaching to a lot of Mexicans on the air, okay? So I try to utilize the primary purpose of the priest is what? Is the ministry of the word, okay? But I gotta be in the confessional. And irrespective of how I feel, I might not be able to talk, I've got a headache, as long as you get the absolution, you're freed, okay? You hear the words, I absolve you of your sins in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay, you're freed. That's worth more than $1 billion. Okay? Yes, I was listening to a talk. I don't remember who was giving it, but one of the greatest converts last century, his name was G.K. Chesterton. Any of you hear of G.K. Chesterton?
Yes, right.
Probably one of the greatest converts last century, and the century before, Cardinal Newman, two great English converts. You know why when someone asked him, why were you converted? You know what he said? Because I can have my sins forgiven through confession. G.K. Chesterton. I can have my sins forgiven through, because he was a Protestant before. C.S. Lewis never became a Catholic, was almost. He was a good friend of Tolkien, who wrote The Lord of the Rings, no? Yes. Are you saying in the context of the confession? Well, I would say, no, when you're in the confessional there, after you confess, you can talk another 5 minutes on your spiritual direction. Yeah. And I said one topic might be, Father, I'm really distracting my prayer. I said, okay, how much sleep do you have? 4 hours? Okay, you have to get an hour and a half more, if not two. I don't like that, Father. Okay, well, go find someone else, okay? I'm not here to make friends. I'm here to get to the heaven, okay? You know, you don't jive with me? Go get someone else. I mean, you're not hurting my feelings. I already have too much work anyway, no? See, I'm not always going to tell you something you want to hear, no? Well, you're going to hear what I think God wants you to hear. Amen or oh me? That's no. Amen. Now, with respect to the other option, in this parish over the past few years, we've been working on preparing lay spiritual directors. Okay? We have lay spiritual directors. So I would strongly recommend all of you who are serious in looking for spiritual direction, you can ask. Mary will take your name, and we'll connect you with a lay spiritual director. Now in the parish right now we have formally three spiritual directors. We've got one with us now. And others that are in the process of, they're heading in that direction, okay? They're spiritual companions. They're spiritual companions, they're almost spiritual directors. But they have to go through another process, a little bit more preparation. So we invite you to do that. With your prayer companion, that would probably be good enough for most of you. Having the spiritual direction, okay,
yeah,
so much the better, okay? So, how has this come about? Myself being aware that many people really have this urgent need to be able to talk with someone about their spiritual life, we decided to bring our team from Denver, the Oblates from Denver, a team that prepares spiritual directors. And in January, we had 20 come in that were formed. We've already have about 10. So 20. And in August, they're going to have the second session. So by the end of August, you're going to have, in this parish, a good 30 spiritual companions that will almost be directors, okay? I don't think that this is present anywhere in the country except in maybe a retreat house, okay? That's huge. Not only that, but you know, these people, they're not asking for your money also, okay? They just want the salvation of your soul. So I invite you to go to Mary, just say, Mary, I'd like to have some spiritual companion, and we'll be able to assign one to you within the next, probably next 3 weeks. Okay? By May, hopefully you'll all have a spiritual companion. Now, listen. All of your spiritual companions are going to be, they're always going to be asking you always at least one question. Are you ready?
Yeah.
That also. Okay, you listening?
Mm-hmm.
How's your holy hour going?
Yeah.
Right, Alice? Right, Mary? That's always going to surface. And if you say, I'm not doing your holy hour, what's the purpose of even, what's your purpose of even going? There's no purpose. You're wasting your time, you're wasting her time also. Now, if you don't have that, you know, you don't do your holy hour, no one's going to know. So what's very important is accountability. Like you come to me, okay, how's your holy hour going? Father, I'm not doing it. Why? Because I'm lazy. Is that good? No. You have to fight against your laziness. You didn't want to hear that, did you? But someone has to tell you, no? It's pure laziness. I mean, you watch TV, you overeat, you're a gossip, you know, you're doing all these things that are bad. Instead of eating so much and gossiping with your girlfriend on the phone, spend an hour with the Lord. Isn't that better?
Amen.
Hello?
Yes, amen.
You didn't want to hear that, but I told you the truth, huh? Someone has to tell you the truth. Your abuelita is not going to tell you. Okay. So, there you have it. Sign up for that. And there's, okay, there, okay, maybe I'm coming on strong. There's going to be a lot of encouragement, too. You know, 75% of it is going to be encouragement. You keep wind in your sails. But, you know, if you're giving in to laziness, the director can come, okay, you have to kind of overcome that laziness. You know, when you did the exercise, you got up at 6 o'clock, you're faithful now. You know, you're not with Father Broome on top of you now, okay. Do the holy hour anyway. And God might, send a dream in which I'm in the dream like this, you know, kind of looking at you like this. No? Get out of bed, no?
Father, so you would go to confession, and then you would go to your director and say 4 minutes for the confession and 6 minutes for the director.
Yeah, so it's all, you know, you make a quick confession and then 5 minutes spiritual direction.
Okay.
That's not the ideal. But if you're very methodical, well organized, that if you go to confession every 2 or 3 weeks, that should be enough. Maybe have something that's urgent. May this father could maybe, you know, spend a half hour with you outside the confessional. Okay, yeah, but that can't be a regular basis. Not a regular basis. Something that's an emergency. Okay, emergency. Come on in. Yeah. But without this, you're going to arrive at a snag in your spiritual life where you're not going to grow. You're going to start to stagnate. This is Ignatian. I've given you biblical passages of spiritual direction. Samuel, the Ethiopian, the disciples on the road to Emmaus. I mean, they all had to have someone to orient them. And this is true in anything, no? Example I gave is, last year, the best home run hitter in the American League was a Yankee. His name was Aaron Judge, okay? And you know what happened is he hit a lot of home runs, but he had more strikeouts than home runs. And you know why? It's because the pitcher saw what his weakness. You know what his weakness was? It was the fastball along the letters. He couldn't hit it. I mean, it was on his knees. He looked like a golfer, no? Zoom, right out of the park. So what do you think they're doing during the winter break?
Training him.
Well, you'd have the batting coach a pitcher throwing the ball from 85 to 100 miles per hour, right around here, and he probably saw 1,000 balls. Now, when he's playing, if a ball comes here, he's already seen that ball 1,000 times, as what happened 2 days ago. He knocked the ball almost out of the park, okay? Because he's seen. So if we have batting coaches, shouldn't we have coaches to help us to become saints?
Yes.
Yes. Hello?
Yes, Father.
Yeah, these guys are just there to win the World Series, no? And get a big trophy. We're here to save our souls. Your soul is worth more than the whole universe. Do you believe it?
Yes.
Yes.
So for our holy hour now, should we just start over with our notes and do the same readings then, or should we just pick a random?
I think you should come to perseverance. Because if you come to perseverance, you'll get the talk, and then you get the hard copy of the gospel for the day. Then, like I said, every gospel you're going to get about 10 points. And Mary's doing, it's those points, they should be published. They're so well done. Yeah.
This is Friday night, 7:30.
Yeah, starting tomorrow.
Yes.
So we'll see all of you tomorrow at 7:30.
Okay? Yes.
I will notice your absence, too. Okay?
Yes.
Now, see that silhouette of your absence. I'll see it tomorrow. Okay? Take advantage. In the old church. It's an hour. So from 7:30 to 8:30, yeah?
Yes.
Give up the soap opera, okay? Give up the Dodgers game. Like in hey, it's a question of priorities, no? Well, maybe ask your boss if you can leave a half hour early, okay? Okay? It's worth a while.
Yes.
Yes. Is he fidgety? Well, if she can sit there, sometimes, if it's an hour and then I can't entertain her, okay? Like Raquel, she brings all of her kids and her husband, no? And over the past year, probably about every other class, no?
Father?
Yes.
For spiritual director, can the spiritual director be a director for both me and my husband?
Yes. Actually, you know, Alice, who's here, directs couples. Okay, she might say, she does that over the past couple of years. A very, very good question, yeah. Do you hear what she said? Can a director be for both husband and wife? Yes. Yeah, good option, yeah. Well, for the whole family, I guess. I don't know about that. Is that true, Alice? For the whole family? Okay, the whole family too? Okay, she's directing one whole family. Okay, good. Yeah. The more the merrier, okay?
One more question, Father. Are you going to do the consecration classes for adults?
Consecration to Mary?
Yes.
Have any of you consecrated yourself to Mary?
Yes.
Yes, I will. I have to see when we'll do it again. I did it. Last time I did was last year. Did you make the consecration to Mary?
No, I wanted to.
Okay.
I
want to
sign up for
kids. I'm working with this with Mary. We're going to have the consecration. It's going to be the teens, right? It'll probably be the middle of June through the middle of July. Then we'll do it for. We'll have the exercise for children. We'll do the same week, but one's going to be on Tuesday, the other will be on Friday, when they're on vacation. Last year we had close to 200, didn't we, Mary? We had about 200 teenagers that persevered. No? Anyway, it was really incredible, no? Yeah, 200 teenagers persevering for 5 weeks, okay? What I do for the teenagers, some of you got children, I cut the program in half. It's not 10 weeks, but 5 weeks. They don't have to meditate an hour. Okay, a half hour. Then they come in, and Mary has written these really good worksheets in which I teach by means of a worksheet. Then we give them the material to meditate upon for the week, and the moms and dads encourage them. Okay. Then they've got sharing groups. So it's just like this, but it's on a level of kids that are much younger, no? I feel now more than ever, your kids have so many temptations, you got to do that. They're going to be lost. you're going to lose your kids. So we want to consecrate them to Mary. If they're consecrated to Mary, Mary will save them. Mary will save them, yeah. Okay, two other quick things, and then sorry I'm going on, but this is very important that you persevere, because it's easy just to, we finish the course, let's go back to being normal again. No. No. Being mediocre. Yes. Well, no, those who are doing the course, because we can't do it to the whole diocese. And the preconditions, you have to do your holy hour. Right. You're not going to do your holy hour, what are you going to be talking about? Okay. The basis of the spiritual is your relationship with God, which is your prayer life. And your holy hour, that's your prayer life. No? All of you, I hope that you really love your holy hour. Do you? You treasure your holy hour. Yeah. Not that it's always easy, but you got to treasure it. Yeah. Every morning I get up, the first hour, almost an hour and a half, I spend in front of the Blessed Sacrament. No? Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes I struggle. But I've just said, I'm going to do it. Come hell or high water, I'm going to be faithful to my holy hour until I die. I've decided on that. If I really love God, I'm going to show I love God by being faithful. Amen?
Amen.
If I really love God, it doesn't depend on feelings. I'm going to be with the Lord, and I'm going to give my heart, even though I might have a million temptations, distractions, I might be tempted to fall asleep, dry. It doesn't matter. I'm going to be there. You promised faithfulness to your spouse. You made that promise, didn't you? You married, any of you?
Yes.
Did you promise to be faithful?
Yes.
What did you say? In good times, in bad, in health, in sickness, until death do you part. Did you take that seriously?
Yes.
Shouldn't you say that to Jesus even more?
Yes.
He's the lover of your soul, even more so. And if you fall in love with Christ, you'll be able to love your husband much better. Do you believe it or not?
Yes.
Yeah, you know, listen. Couples that really want to love each other, it can't be this way. It has to be this way. It has to be this way. You go up to God. Then both of you go up to God, then God's love can descend in both of your hearts. There has to be, as Aristotle says, a transcendental other. Who's the transcendental other? It has to be God. Because if you're married and you just look at your spouse without God, you're going to start to look at the ugliness in the face of your spouse. But if you look through the eyes of Christ, you're always going to see the beauty in that other person. It's true. But just look through your own eyes. Oh, look, a little bit más gordita. You got gray hair. You got wrinkles already. No, really. You see the negative.
Yeah.
But if you see through the eyes of Christ, you always see the beauty in that person. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. Okay, so this week, rejoice. You're going to be begging for great joy. Great joy. But what does the joy come from? It comes from union with Jesus, who's risen from the dead. And he rose from the dead for you. One last idea is this. Is the resurrection is related to heaven. Jesus rose from the dead to open up the gates of heaven so that we can go to heaven. Never forget that. That's the plenitude of the Paschal mystery. Passion, death, and resurrection. So, think about the happiest day in your life. Happiest hour in your life. The happiest moment in your life. Okay, now multiply that 1,000 times and then forever and ever and ever. There you have a mere glimpse of what heaven is like. Happiest day in your life. Happiest hour in your life. Happiest moment in your life. Forever and ever and ever. Personally, for me, May 25th, 1986. Holy Trinity Sunday. That was the day. The hour was 10:30. The moment was I was kneeling down in the Basilica of St. Peter in Rome. And then this man came up dressed in white with a big hat on his head. And he came and he placed his hands on my head. The name of that man, he was the Bishop of Rome, that was John Paul II. That's when I was ordained a priest by John Paul II. I've got holy hair. Okay? Happiest day, happiest hour, happiest moment was the moment when John Paul II placed his hands on my head. The happiest moment in my life. I think about that, I'm almost in heaven just thinking about that. So all of you have a day, you have an hour, you have a moment. So think about that and rejoice. And once you get to heaven, it's going to be a billion times better forever and ever and ever. So this is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in. So before ending, I'd like all of you to thank your facilitators who've been working with you with an applause for their hard work.
Yeah.
So God bless you and persevere until the end, okay?
Thank you, Father God.